The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
The Pride to Detroit PODcast is brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, and it's the jerky that fuels your Detroit Lions. Righteous Felon Jerky and Meat Sticks are available to Lions players at the training facilities at Allen Park, and each 2-ounce bag of jerky has 16 to 20 grams of protein, and each stick has 8 grams. Trust me, if it's good enough for the Lions and the POD cast, it's going to be good enough for you too. Righteous Felon is based in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and they use locally sourced, all-natural Black Angus beef, and they pride themselves on superior quality, revolutionary branding, and unique flavors that go beyond the stereotypical jerky offering. For our listeners, we have a special offer for you. Go to RighteousFelon.com and use the promo code POD15 at checkout. Get you 15% off your order. That's POD15 at RighteousFelon.com. Welcome to the Pride of Detroit PODcast, PrideofDetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. You know where to find us. This is the second time we are doing this intro, and I am hoping that there won't be a third. So we're just going to dive right into it. We're live on twitch.tv/PrideofDetroit and on youtube.com/@PrideofDetroit. I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host, at Chris Perfett on Twitter. Been with you since day one. Going to keep being with you all the time, hydrating, staying fresh, doing things. Talking Lions. The Lions have just signed a new guard, and we're going to talk about him in a second, along with more free agency talk and looking around the NFC North. Let's bring in the crew. Stand-in crew here today. We've got two guys taking some needed time off. Morgan Cannon joining us at mcannon313, and his partner Miko Scott at the Miko Scott, our intrepid YouTube crew. Hello, fellas.
Good afternoon. Hello, guys. Man. Happy to do this a second time. Let's get it.
I know. A second time. We'll do it a third, fifth, whatever we have to, but I don't think our audience wants to. So I'm not sure why Twitch is breaking, and I don't intend to find out. Let's talk instead about Kevin Zeitler. And it's the second time I've had to pause and remember how to say his name. We were making this rundown, and I was trying to figure out what the Lions, we were going to recap a lot of free agency, and we still are. One of the things I was going to write was, what have the Lions not addressed in free agency? And I was penciling in guard until they did this. Kevin Zeitler, 34, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens, Pro Bowler, nice, fat, juicy 82.5 pass blocking grade from Pro Football Focus back in 2023, intends to fly to Detroit tonight. Monday, sign with the team on Tuesday, pending a physical. This is a fairly big move. We have to figure out the we have to see the money still. But I think the general consensus right now here, if I'm just gauging Morgan and Miko, seems to be Morgan, you go first. Seems to be pretty happy with this signing.
Yeah, it was one of the ones that, like myself, Jeremy, and a few others had circled, like if we wanted to, if the Lions wanted to just do a 1-year like flyer plug and play veteran, then Zeitler's your guy. He's not going to prevent them from drafting anyone early. I still think that's definitely on the table. But yeah, he can start. He's been a pro and started since he entered the league back in 2012 with the Bengals. And he's started ever since, like you said, rarely misses games. I'm excited because he's going to project as your right guard. You slide Graham Glasgow over to left guard and you have your starting five, right, Miko?
Yeah, that's kind of the overall opinion that I had with this signing. And Chris, I was right there with you when we were kind of going through the rundown of the show. And then you start looking at, okay, what do the Lions still need? guard, left guard specifically, is what stood out. And Kevin Zeitler, absolutely, like Morgan said, high on the list if you're looking for a veteran that's proven, that's played at a high level throughout his career. The only thing that kind of kept him a little bit lower on my list personally was what Morgan said. He's primarily played right guard, but Graham has shown the versatility in his career to be able to slide, you know, across that offensive line. So essentially, that's all you're going to ask him to do. Move over to left guard. You allow Kevin Zeitler to man that right guard position. And more importantly, and I think that's something that a lot of fans should consider, you now have a veteran guard presence to be, you know, a mentor to the likes of Colby Sorsdahl, to the likes of Kaiode Awashika, and any potential rookie that you decide to draft in this upcoming draft class. But also equally important is now the Lions get to go into the draft and not necessarily have a pressing need at any given position. They can definitely continue to go with this best player available strategy, you know, whether it's at pick 29 or throughout the rest of this draft.
Yeah, I don't think this takes a guard off the board for them at all. But still, one of the big fascinating things to talk about, and I think you brought it up beforehand, Morgan, he hasn't, Zeitler hasn't had many snaps at only like a couple snaps at left guard. So yeah, I don't think the more logical is that Graham Glasgow moves over there, and Graham's shown you his versatility so far. Again, still leaves room for left guard to be drafted as well too. Just kind of a nice big, but I want to focus on Kevin himself just because he's a bit of an iron man. He hasn't really missed a whole hell of a lot of snaps, and I'm knocking on wood here. He is 34 now. They have to go through the physicals, and that's going to be a pending thing. But talk about some depth. Talk about a guy who is reliable, dependable, and from my quick talk with some Ravens people I know, nothing but good things to really say. He was kind of without a home here coming into free agency. His contract had expired with the Ravens. He was out here kind of making a bit of a case for himself that he should come back with a team somewhere. It hadn't really percolated if it would be. I think he was hoping to really be back with the Ravens, but Lions swoop in here. And it's, as you guys say, it's another one of these Brad Holmes one-year deals, kind of get sneaky in here, but not something where you're committing long-term to something. It continues to be the hallmark of Lions free agency, which is it's short term.
Yeah, Graham and Zeitler are both older. So yeah, like you said, Miko and Chris said that it's not going to stop them from drafting an interior offensive lineman early. And we know about Frank's injury history, and you know he's creeping up there in his late 20s too, which sounds crazy to say out loud, but it's true. So yeah, I think this is big, and it just reinforces like the strength of this team, right? Like you want to have someone really like strong in there, because that's the straw that stirs the drink, right? So having him, I'm sure it's appealing to Zeitler too. Hey, you know, come play a year between Frank Ragnow and the best right tackle in the entire league. So, and maybe the best center. So it's got to be pretty appealing, right, Miko?
Yeah, I would say so. And then on top of that, the Lions play an offense that really caters to what he does well, which is what Chris was pointing out at the top of this, you know, an 82.5, you know, pass blocking grade in PFF. This football team throws the ball very well. Obviously, yes, they're very run focused first, but with play action and having, you know, a Penei Sewell, having a Frank Ragnow, Kevin Zeitler is going to have probably like some of the easiest times with some of his pass blocking sets between those two guys. So I think this can almost set up the Lions passing game to just take another step forward, because you know you have a guy in there, like Chris pointed out, hasn't missed a ton of games, is a constant professional, has always been near the top of the league in that, you know, in terms of pass protection. This is a lot of good things for this offense to continue being the success that it has been with Jared Goff at the helm and, you know, Ben Johnson calling the plays.
Some funny stuff about him. And I agree with all that. And like, again, I feel like the way the NFL is going, you are seeing more pass rush potential coming from up the middle these days, is why Frank Ragnow has earned the money that he has been, and why he's such a pivotal piece, linchpin to the Lions pass rush. But Zeitler himself, he's a guy who like, he was a bit of a surprise to go in the first round back in 2012. I think he expected to go probably in day two, but the Bengals picked him up, I believe, pick 27. Someone who's really bounced around a lot more than he probably should, because like after his 4 years, the Bengals, he signs a 5-year deal with the Browns, but then gets traded to the Giants and then released in 2021. Ravens pick him up and he does very well there for 2 years, but they don't extend his contract. They missed the deadline to extend his contract after three very productive seasons. On one hand, that's like you see him bounce around, but on the other, that means I like the idea that he could probably be someone you plug in right away. Lines take a little bit of time to gel and develop, but I think it'll be very fascinating to see him. He's just someone who has been fairly well loved where he's gone and like the production he brings to an offensive line. So Lions keep getting richer on the offensive line. I love it.
Yeah. I'll be excited to see a little bit of his tape and see how he functioned like in the run with that, you know, in that Baltimore offense. Like I want to watch that because we obviously his PFF grade, I don't put a ton of stock in PFF grades when it comes to offensive linemen, but with that, those are just really impressive pass blocking numbers. So yeah, I do want to see like, how's he look in space? Like, is he going to be able to pull like Graham Glasgow did, like Jonah Jackson did, like Frank does in Panay. So yeah, I want to see that for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, Morgan, that's probably like the only like concern that I might have. And it's a small concern, but like in the difference between his pass blocking grade and his run blocking grade isn't like astronomical, but it's definitely visible, right? You have like a high 80 or low 80s in pass blocking, high 60s in run blocking. And someone who's 34 years old, I think there could be some questions about, okay, like how is he, like you said, how is he out in space with pulling, or is he more just like power, you know, type of running scheme with the Ravens? I think that'll be the next thing that'll be most interesting to see with like how he fits with this offense. Because like I said, as much as they have gotten so much better at throwing the ball, they still want to run the ball at people. So, you know, your guards still need to be able to, you know, occupy blockers. They still need to be able to get to the second level. And, you know, it's going to be important to see how that aspect of his game translates here in Detroit.
More to discuss. Only allowed 16 pressures back in 2023. One QB hit allowed, two sacks allowed. Just again, very, very productive in that regard. Only about four penalties as well. Oh, on about 900, just shy of about 1,000 offensive snaps. So we'll have more on him later. We're starting to get into our free agent series of first bites. I know we've already lined up a Bengals guest here, so we'll probably get to Zeitler a little bit later, although we might be able to talk some early Zeitler with the Bengals guest as well. And speaking of Bengals, that was the other pickup the Lions had, DJ Reader. I know we've already done our podcast on it. I didn't get a chance to get out my thoughts, and I don't know if Morgan or Miko, you guys have had a chance to talk on him yet. But yeah, it's another one that I just like. These are two very big pickups for the trenches, especially for what the Lions want to do, which is just an arms race in stopping the run, especially in a year where the two multiple NFC North teams, you know, improved their run game here with pickups in free agency, and the Lions pick up DJ Reader, who just likes to eat the run.
Yeah, I had said last week when we were, you know, Morgan and I did a video on YouTube where we were kind of recapping like the first day of free agency. I was very big on the Carlton Davis signing or trade at the time. Mm-hmm. This signing of DJ Reader like literally clears that move by leaps and bounds, right? Like This is absolutely the move that the Lions needed to make to not just like keep that run defense like, you know, high in the NFL, but like to actually push this defense forward, to actually make things easier for other people on this defense. That's what DJ Reader does by simply putting him next to an Aleem McNeil, you know, near Aiden Hutchinson. Like, things on this defensive line and this defense as a whole feels like it can be solved in a little bit simpler from a scheme perspective, because you have two guys in the middle that can play the run really well, but also create a lot of pressure and get after the quarterback and just cause a lot of havoc, you know, in the backfield. So this whole, you know, narrative or this whole situation where, like, you know, guys like, you know, Aleem or Aiden have to deal with double teams. Well, now you have DJ Reader, and it's like, okay, who are you going to double team? Because somebody has to get a one-on-one. And between those three guys, not to mention if Marcus Davenport can stay healthy, you're going to have like a lot of difficult decisions on your hands as an offensive coordinator, as an offensive line, of trying to determine where you're going to slide your protection, who you're going to allow these one-on-one matchups with. Because if you choose the wrong guy, someone else is going to cause a lot of havoc in your backfield.
Exactly, Miko. I've watched two games of Reader so far. It was just from last year. And I deduced a couple things really quickly. One, you're not going to block him with one human. It's just not going to happen. I don't care who it is. You probably need a forklift to move him before you did it with like one person. It's just not going to happen. And then even when there's two, he's really difficult to uproot. He's super powerful with his punch. He looks like he's got like 10-pound weights in his hands, like when he like punches people and like swipes people. So I'm excited to watch more of his film. And yeah, I'm excited for all the reasons you listed. And really, like, the Lions were really good at stopping the run last year, right? Because they devoted a lot of resources to stopping the run. DJ Reader makes it so you don't really, like, you might not have to devote as many resources, right? You might just be able to stop the run with a 4-man front. And like we all know, that helps the back end out. So yeah, it's exciting.
Lot to get to here. We'll talk some more free agency in a little, and break down more of these players as we go along. We'll talk some contract numbers in a little bit on Kevin Zeitler as well. But let me just ask you guys right now, as we now enter into week two of free agency, not even a full week of it. I think we've kind of let the tampering period kind of warp our perception of when exactly free agency starts. And I always love this time of year when we get the it's like, oh, we have to accuse the Atlanta Falcons of tampering. It's like, what are you talking about? What are we doing here? We're just pushing the number back. Like, I always like the tale of the went before the tampering period, where guys would sign at like 12:03 a.m. And it's like, okay, so they got the deal done in 3 minutes. Is that what you're saying? You sure about that? We really need to
do this.
We're
smarter than that.
I know. This tampering allegation of the Falcons is going nowhere. But let's talk about free agency itself as we enter. Yeah, it's second Monday of it. What did the Lions, you think, in your minds, Miko, we'll start with you, improve the most on their team right now? Now, I know it's a lot of like short terms. We've got the MO of Brad Holmes in free agency now. It's going to be short term stuff. He's going to prioritize the draft first and foremost for a lot of these positions, but have short term answers. Even if they aren't able to answer, it allows them to go into the draft flexible. But if we're just looking at the roster here today, putting the draft aside, what have they addressed the most, and where have do you think they still have yet to really answer for, or like remains a weakness for the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, I'll start where I think they've improved the most. And I don't want to say necessarily a specific position group, but I want to say, like, as far as the secondary is concerned, I do think they have more competent play there. And I think they have more options available to them outside of just like, hey, we're stuck with Cam Sutton guarding, you know, their best wide receiver, and then we're just going to shuffle CB2 until we find something that isn't completely terrible. I think with the addition of Carlton Davis, I think with the addition of Amrik Robertson, I think they have a lot of quality pieces in that secondary. Bringing back Emmanuel Mosley, giving him plenty of time to get healthy, and we'll see what he's like after, you know, tearing both ACLs. But if he can even play, again, just a serviceable, you know, reserve role, I think that secondary becomes much more competent in terms of, again, going up against, you know, elite wide receiver groups, so that you can actually match up with, you know, your best corner against their best wide receiver. And you don't feel like, you know, Morgan, you kind of mentioned this earlier about how the defense had to basically put so many resources into stopping the run. They also had to put a lot of resources into disrupting the pass. Now, I don't think you have to do that nearly as much with the type of investment that Brad Holmes has made into that secondary group, specifically looking at the corners.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I stand by everything you said. That's where I was going to go. Defensive depth in general, like, you know, even if, you know, your starters are Cam Sutton and Carlton Davis, and say Carlton Davis or Cam Sutton does miss a couple of games, like they miss 3 or 4 games with an injury, it's going to happen. It's a high, you know, that position sees a lot of injuries. You have a Meek Robertson, right? Like, he has starting experience both on the outside and the nickel. You have Brian Branch, you have Emmanuel Mosley, who might get healthy and be able to provide even more depth. So I really like that. And to pivot into something not so rosy, one thing I still am worrying about is like the third safety position, because I know me and Miko, if y'all haven't noticed, we do a lot of content on YouTube, and we're both very excited about Ifeatu Melifonwu and Kirby Joseph. But I would like to see a third safety and preferably a vet come in, you know, Quandre Diggs, question mark. That'd be nice.
The reunion that everyone hopes to happen, pretty much.
Yep. Let's do it. Sign me up. He's still like, there's Quandre Diggs. The party store near me has a Quandre Diggs panel still. It's like Steve Eiserman, Ben Wallace, Quandre, and I see it all the time. It's my party store and I love it. I'm like, Quandre, let's do it. Bring him back.
Yeah, would be nice. But I don't know if the Quandre Diggs thing will really happen, just given where this roster is at right now. So what do you, so that's kind of what they think you've addressed and what you've improved the most. What let's put all the signings on the table. So we got Amik Robertson. We've got CJ Reader, Kevin Zeitler. Don't let recency bias hit you here. By the way, Carlton Davis also restructuring his contract was the other news we got here today. Moving some money around. It's not, he's not being a team player and saving the team money. Let's be very clear about that. He is going to still, he's actually, I think, getting more of his money up front by the Lions converting it into a signing bonus and kicking some like dead cap to 2025, I believe is how it works. It's taking the void years and accelerating it to the 2025 cap. So
it's 2025 and 2026. And then if he's not retained next year, then both of those come due for 2025. That's how that works.
Yeah. So it just more money for him up front, but it still eases the cap, gives the Lions about lowered it from about, I believe, what would have been just over a 14 million cap hit.
14.5.
What do they save on that? I think they save about $4.5 million or so.
I believe it was like close. 4.5. I thought it was like 4.5 or 6.5, like somewhere between 4.5 and six. I think something like that.
Yeah. So we've got Carlton Davis. We've got Amik Robertson. We've got DJ Reader. We've got Kevin Zeitler. Am I missing something else? I'm leaving the re-signings out of here for now.
Marcus Davenport. They brought him.
Yeah. We'll include, you know, and I know Carlton Davis is a trade, but we're just going to do acquisitions here. So of those, what is the one that you think is the most valuable that the Lions have done here after about a week?
I mean, I think I already tipped I was going to say, I'm right there with you. Like I was going to say, I think I already tipped my hand earlier. It's DJ Reader, and it's like by a healthy margin too, like by a very healthy margin.
Right. And it's twofold, right, Miko? And I know we've talked about this at length. If the Lions were to get a guy like DJ Reader, and this is the dream, like if you get a DJ Reader, and don't get twisted, he has some flexibility. He can obviously play the nose and occupy double teams and two gap, which is vital to being a good run stopping team. But he can also play the three tech and create some penetration and cause some havoc in there. So, but ultimately, you improve two positions here because Aleem McNeil playing the three tech the vast majority of the time is a good thing for the Lions defense and a bad thing for opposing offenses. Not to mention the linebacker room. I know someone mentioned it earlier about Alex Anzalone was excited about Reader. I bet he is, because let me tell you, man, when you got a big boy in front of you there eating space and keeping you clean, it makes linebacking a heck of a lot easier, like night and day.
All right. So let's take a break. On the other side, we'll talk some more about Kevin Zeitler. I want to get into the contract extension we got for two people. Maybe you missed it on the weekend. Maybe you didn't. But it is another big sign of faith and a commitment to stability from the Detroit Lions that we'll talk about. Plus, I want to talk about a couple of quarterback changes that have happened here in the NFC North. And just more Lions free agency talk to come down the pike here. So that'll be up next in the Pride Detroit PODcast. But first, we have to talk about meat. We've got a lot of meat here. I've got new meat here with Morgan and Miko. And that's why the Pride of Detroit podcast is brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. It's the jerky that fuels your Detroit Lions. That's right. Righteous Felon Jerky and meat sticks are available to Lions players at the training facilities at Allen Park, because each 2 ounce bag of jerky has 16 to 20 grams of protein. Each stick has 8 grams. It's good enough for the Lions. It's going to be good enough for you too. They're based in Westchester, Pennsylvania, using locally sourced all-natural Black Angus beef with superior quality and unique flavors that go beyond your stereotypical jerky offering. Like, let's see here. What do I got? My bag's way over there. I was going to show you the Truffalo Bill, the truffle-flavored beef jerky. Where else can you get truffle flavor? I don't know. From truffles? Psst, who needs that? It's on meat. So go to righteousfelon.com, use the promo code POD15 at checkout. You'll get 15% off your order at any time. Not your first order, not your second, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. Any order you want, each time you use the code, it helps us out and it gets you meat. I can't think of a better deal. I really can't. POD15 at righteousfelon.com. Use that promo code there. Get yourself some meat. We will be right back on the Pride of Detroit POD cast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pride of Detroit POD cast. You've had some time to ruminate on more of the free agency. We still don't have contract details as of this podcast about Kevin Zeitler, so we'll leave him to the side and most of the other Lions free agents. I want to look around the rest of the division, but first, quick reactions here. We did have one very significant piece of news on the Detroit Lions about contract extensions, and not for players, but for a coach and general manager. Over the weekend, the Lions gave new contract. Actually, I think this was like Friday or Thursday, if I am not mistaken. Lions gave contract extensions to both Dan Campbell and general manager Brad Holmes, extending them through the 2027 season. I believe they had had 6-year contracts or so when they both came in in early 2021. So this is adding one more year to the deal. And as we reported, it probably comes with a raise. But no brainer, right? I think what is fascinating to me about this is there were still so many years left on these contracts. There was no reason to do them now. So it's a little bit of out of left field, but I think, again, continues to show the confidence they have in this regime and how much they are like Sheila Hamp favors stability moving forward, that this is a long term play. This isn't something that a couple of bad years. And like, look, I don't think the Lions are going to make the playoffs every year, especially with how competitive the division might get. But it's something saying we are secure with you for the long term future, to keep getting guys, keep developing, not to be a quick cook for a Super Bowl, but to make a winning long term organization. So it's fascinating. It's fascinating in that regard. And it's absolutely like this is the right idea to do this. Also a multi-year extension for Chris Spielman, the team special assistant, and basically face of a lot of the team as well. So any thoughts, anything to add here about the contract extensions, or no brainer?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of a no brainer, right? And I think it kind of leads into what you're saying about Sheila Fordham, basically showing a lot of support behind both of these guys. They came in and through their first couple years in Detroit, I think they have delivered on everything they probably promised her in their interviews. And I think the best way to showcase your support and your belief that they will continue to do that is to, again, like you said, give them a little bit more money, give them an extra year, and continue to let these guys cook and continue to let these guys acquire talent and develop talent and hopefully win more games. And, you know, one of the things that I've like hung on to that Brad Holmes said, I think probably in his first or one of his early press conferences, right, is that their goal is to not just, you know, make it to the playoffs and hopefully win a championship, but to keep that window open as long as possible. And I think every move they've made to this point has been true to that word, to those words. And I think the same thing is true for Dan. Everything that Dan has said, what he wants to accomplish, what he wants his team to be, they have slowly become that year after year. And so, yeah, this is great, you know, a great show of faith by the organization to keep these guys long term and not to give them any type of feeling that they're not valued here. So, yeah, no brainer, in my opinion.
And it gives them a chance to, you know, the way these agents operate, it gives them a chance to say the Lions do really well in 2024 and 2025. So probably at the end of that 2025 year, that's when Sheila will open up the checkbook again for this time, probably even a long term, you know, sign them through 2030 or something along those lines. And that's the way, that way they keep getting raises and that are commiserate with like the top paid executives and coaches in the league. Right. So I'm with you.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, is it shows commitment from Sheila in that, like, she does not mind spending more money on this team right now. Like, it's refreshing from some ownership versus some other stuff in the Detroit market, that where, you know, money is not a factor before winning, before culture, before. And I just want to rewind the clock again back to the days where Dan Campbell was brand new to the organization, where he was just the kneecaps guy, and where a lot of people were just thinking of him as either a culture guy more than anything, or as a just a rah-rah kind of guy. And I think he's shown you a lot more competence and a lot more well-roundedness than that too. And I think it's the Lions got out ahead of some other teams who have now tried to look for their own Dan Campbell. In a lot of ways, imitation has kind of come to the NFL from the Detroit Lions, which is very new to see. And I mean, like, you can look at some of the defensive backgrounds of someone like a D'Amico Ryans, but then look to like Gerard Mayo or Antonio Pierce.
Antonio Pierce, yeah.
Is kind of the big one, is like, not for their motivation, but for guys, there's more of an emphasis now on culture. I don't know how those will work out. I think Antonio Pierce might be more akin to like Dan Campbell coming off the Dolphins job. So I don't know how he'll do, but still, like, it's clear that there's now a second line of copycat thought other than the hot offensive coordinator that's come to the NFL. And we've had precursors to it. You had Mike Vrabel, who was a lot like Dan Campbell as well, but for whatever reason, the immediate success of the Lions, I think, has put some owners being like, oh, this is actually an idea too we could do instead.
Well, and I think it also speaks to, but like to your point, Chris, about this whole topic, is like, you got both guys getting the extension. So to that extent, you have a lot of teams that are going out here trying to find their Dan Campbell, but forgetting the other part of that is that you also need a Brad Holmes. You need someone that can work in conjunction, not necessarily the same person, but two people that respect each other and have the same vision. So to your point about Mike Vrabel, Vrabel had a lot of success early in Tennessee until the GM decided, like, I'm doing my own thing. I'm going to trade away AJ Brown. I'm going to do this and that. Well, now there's a disconnect. Now there's no longer trust in the building. And so far through these first few years, Brad and Dan have that in spades. And as long as that continues, the Lions will be better for it. You have a guy that has a clear strategy in how to evaluate and prioritize talent, and a coach that knows the type of players he wants and the type of system that he can get them in to help them excel.
That was the word
that Sheila and them used at the beginning. Remember, collaborative. They wanted this collaborative approach. And excellent point, Miko, because that's what they've done from the jump. And it's been really nice to see, because it's easy to say, but tough to execute. And they've done it really well, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell and the rest of the staff. But go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think there's some other news that I kind of want to turn this towards the rest of the NFC North right now. We're going to try to maybe do another an NFC North roundup at some point here. I'm still feeling out my week right now and coming off how much I've just been needing a break myself. But it's coming at a time, too, for the Lions with all these moves that the NFC North is changing very rapidly. The only one who hasn't turned over their quarterback now are the Lions and the Packers. Kirk Cousins leaving for Atlanta. I don't think that was a surprise. I did not see the Falcons. I mean, the money he got from Atlanta is pretty steep. But at the same time, I didn't see a universe where the Vikings and Kirk Cousins were going to come to an understanding on how much money Kirk Cousins wanted, especially guaranteed, and how much the Vikings did not want to deal with that at all, or how much they even trusted Kirk Cousins as a long-term option for them. It's really put the Vikings in a very particular situation. I know they draft high. I think they're what, 11th in this year's draft. And I think they're one of those candidates for a trade up, but right now they've kind of been left in a little bit of a quarterback limbo right now. I don't think we expect Jaren Hall to turn into much of anything. And they went out and got Sam Darnold. And I think if Sam Darnold starts for you as the Minnesota Vikings, that's not ideal. So I don't know. Maybe they take J.J. McCarthy. They've made some other decent signings. Like they went out and got Aaron Jones. But the big question for them is just, what do they do at quarterback? And what is the future of that team, especially facing down Detroit Lions? And I mean, in most NFC North previews I keep seeing, Mika Morgan, is like, we talk a lot about the Lions, the Bears, we'll get to in a second, and the Packers, but it feels like the Vikings, who are once the one, you know, dominating this division, is just completely shelled up.
Yeah, and I don't anticipate, even if they were to take McCarthy, they trade up or they take him at 11, you know, whatever ends up happening, I don't anticipate him starting from the jump. He's 20 years old. I kind of forget that he's so young. And let's be honest, even as, you know, someone who likes Michigan, I'm sure you can, he's not the most refined passer. We'll put it that way. We'll be politically correct here. So I do think he needs some time to get ready and to be a pro quarterback. So even if they were to take McCarthy, I still do think we'll start to see Sam Darnold at the beginning of the season. Just because I don't think you're going to throw him to the wolves. But yeah, they're kind of in a precarious spot because they're not in range to get one of the top quote unquote three guys. And if they do want to move up there, it would cost them an arm and a leg, right, Miko?
Yeah, I would. And to your point, I think precarious is probably putting it nicely. I think the Vikings have like literally like just kind of screwed themselves in a way. Like, I don't see how this situation that they're in leads to, like, definitely not immediate success, maybe long-term success if you're able to develop a guy like J.J. McCarthy or whoever you decide to pick, because maybe they don't go that route. Maybe they decide to do something even more foolish. Who knows? But no, Sam Darnold's not the answer here. I don't care how great Justin Jefferson is and how great he can make any quarterback seem. That's not going to equate to wins. And we as a fan base should know that better than anybody, because we had that type of dynamic where we had this amazing wide receiver that like couldn't be stopped. And we still kept picking in the top three. Like, where Minnesota's going.
Man, their weapons, I mean, you're right. Like, not just Jefferson, but like Jordan Addison showed himself really well this year as well. They pick up Aaron Jones. They still have TJ Hawkinson. And maybe that's a better place for Sam Darnold, but I don't really see the potential. And I know people will try to. By the way, Sam Darnold is my out for people who try to tell me I'm a USC homer, because I have no love for Sam Darnold. And I never have.
It's not just the quarterback, right? Like, Minnesota's offensive line could still be a liability. Their defense, they've lost some quality pieces on defense. I know we're specifically talking about quarterback, but like, there's a number of reasons why Minnesota choosing to let Kirk Cousins walk to Atlanta is kind of detrimental to their standing in the NFC, where like they're kind of trending towards Bears territory right now.
Speaking of the Bears, they did give away Justin Fields for really not much. Traded to the Steelers over the weekend for a sixth round. If he plays, I think 51% of snaps, it moves up to a fourth round pick. I know this might be a shock to Lions fans, but the league just, I don't think they value Justin Fields. Like, the entire league did not value Justin Fields. And I know there was a lot of talk that the Bears could have potentially held on to Justin Fields and reaped the whirlwind of picks. I unfortunately feel like this was the right decision for the Bears to do. And to be honest, it feels like a discussion we were only really having in parts of the Midwest, because I remember, I don't know if you saw this, I saw Diana Rossini go on like a Bears podcast, and they broke to her this idea that that there were Bears fans who wanted to keep Justin Fields. And she stops herself first from laughing and then says, are you serious? That's the perception of Justin Fields across the entire league right now. It's hard. And I know it's really hard for Lions fans too, because like you've seen Justin Fields rip apart this Lions defense, but I don't think there was really much of a future for Justin Fields once the Bears locked into the first pick overall for the 2024 NFL draft.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much like that writing was on the wall, right? Once we knew that the Bears had the first pick, they would more than likely be taking Caleb Williams. Justin Fields' future in Chicago was pretty much written. But for me personally, like I can now safely separate Justin Fields as a Bears player and Justin Fields as a talent. The fact that Justin Fields as a talent didn't garner even anything close to what Kenny Pickett garnered is ridiculous to me. And personally, like I look back at, it's funny that Justin Fields is going to play for Mike Tomlin, because Mike Tomlin had a quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it, when he was on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark and that crew, where he says he laughs at the idea of coaches who don't like to coach players, who don't like to get their hands dirty and try to develop players. That's what Justin Fields feels like, is that no one wanted to take the time to tailor their offense or their team to what he does well, which is ridiculous because, like I said, a guy like Kenny Pickett gets a much better trade package for him versus what Justin Fields is getting. We've seen other quarterbacks. Carson Wentz, for once upon a time ago, got a king's ransom as a trade option. So like,
he did.
It's kind of odd. Because I do believe, like, I agree with you, Chris. I think the league universally kind of said, like, hey, we're not giving you a king's ransom for this player that you clearly have to get rid of. But I also feel like there's a semblance of this where the NFL should kind of feel a little embarrassed that you don't have more offensive coordinators. Like, no, I can take what he does on the football field and put together a competent offense.
I'm not sure what to make of. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go on, Morgan.
No, I was just, I'm with Miko there. The Bears are kind of just rotten from the top down, man. Like, it's very similar to what happened when they took Justin Fields. They have a coach and a GM that are both more or less on the chopping block. If they don't get their stuff together in 2024, like, they're going to be gone. And then Caleb Williams or whatever direction they go in is going to be strapped with a new regime that are like, okay, well, if it doesn't work, we can just say we didn't draft this guy, and then on and on it goes. That's just the nature of the business, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to try to jimmy the pot a little bit, but they're going Caleb Williams number one. I don't think we need to overthink this. I don't need to hear about like what they could do. And I think that's the right decision for them. At some point, you have to realize like as much picks as you could get. Hey, you can't miss 2 years on a quarterback prospect. You already missed on CJ Stroud. Like, you can't have these top picks and 2 years straight decide, no thanks, we're going to punt the ball on getting a new quarterback. I think for the Bears, it's probably the right decision to go quarterback for this draft. I think if you're going to get any prospect, Caleb Williams is the one to do it. I don't know how successful he will be. I think there's still questions about what the Bears are as a team, but they went out and get Keenan Allen, and they're clearly trying to set up for success for a young quarterback in getting weapons. The Fields thing, I think I agree with you, Miko. I'm kind of shocked that he didn't get as much as he did. I understand it from the league's perspective. I don't know how much is that the Bears just shooting themselves. I don't think they handled it very well as far as trying to disguise that they were shopping him. On the flip side, I also think the limitations on Fields can sometimes, it was going to just be looked at no matter what by other teams in the league. And I don't know how much he will start for the Steelers. They're probably going to take Russell Wilson into the season as their intended starter until he really stinks up the pot.
Yeah, and I think that's the winning solution. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, that's, it makes sense from the Steelers perspective, right? Like, you get to buy low on someone that could have a lot of potential. And at the very least, you get him, again, bargain bin pricing. He gets to learn behind another veteran. And yeah, you get to kick the tires on Russell Wilson and see if he really has fallen off a cliff, which I believe he has.
Yeah. You fear either of these teams more or less after what they've done in free agency? We don't need to spend too much on that. I don't know how much you've kept up.
I'm sorry. That's rude. Less.
I mean,
way less.
Yeah.
Less.
Of course, this is a Lions podcast. I don't
understand what the Packers are doing. The Bears are good in theory. Like, if Caleb Williams comes in and is good, then the Bears could feasibly be like a pretty good team. But that's asking a lot, even of a really talented rookie. The Packers have done like some weird swaps where I'm like, why did you want to? I don't know. I would have just kept Aaron Jones over. I don't know, whatever. But yeah. And the Vikings, we already talked about them. They're kind of just flailing down there at the bottom somewhere.
It's just a fascinating thing because public perception being what it is, a lot of people are going into this year saying this might be the toughest division in football in the NFC North. So, but on the other hand, I see a team where we don't really know what's there in Jordan Love. We have to see what the Bears are going to do and how they handle a rookie quarterback. And a massive question mark on the Vikings. And for the Lions, look, not every team gets to repeat a division. It's very hard to repeat as a division winner. And the Lions have to prove that they can replicate last year's success because there was a little bit of luck on their side, especially in the health department, getting down the way here. So it could be up in the air, but I still think it's still kind of in the order we left it in. I think maybe we downgrade the Vikings a bit versus the Bears when the standings are done, but I don't think too much has terribly changed for the pecking order for this division just yet.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way of saying it. The way I said it was very rude. The way you said it is way more politically correct.
It's like football. I like football and I see more than just this team. But anyway, I think that's where we're going to end it. We're going to have a first bite here later in this week. We're trying to land a Bengals guest. We'll talk about DJ Reader. We'll talk about what the new Lions tackle was up to before he came from the other cat team out there. Later on, we'll try to find someone to talk about Zeitler from the Ravens. I've got a few people in mind and just more stuff. We're starting to get towards that point where the draft becomes more of a priority and we will start doing things like. No, I'm not going to say it. I know Jeremy's not here. He can't stop me even if he wanted to. But I could. I could say something that would make him come out of Florida right now. I'm not going to say it. You know what I'm instead going to say? For myself, at Chris Perfett, Morgan Cannon, find him at ncannon313, and Miko Scott at the Miko Scott, and check out their YouTube content all the time. You guys keep making fantastic videos on there, and we'll keep breaking down. I'm sure you'll have your Zeitler breakdown here coming up soon, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now that we have some like quality signings, film breakdowns are soon to follow.
Mock draft. Anyway, see you, Starside. The Pride to Detroit PODcast is brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, and it's the jerky that fuels your Detroit Lions. Righteous Felon Jerky and meat sticks are available to Lions players at the training facilities at Allen Park, and each 2-ounce bag of jerky has 16 to 20 grams of protein, and each stick has 8 grams. Trust me, if it's good enough for the Lions and the POD cast, it's going to be good enough for you too. Righteous Felon is based in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and they use locally sourced, all-natural Black Angus beef, and they pride themselves on superior quality, revolutionary branding, and unique flavors that go beyond the stereotypical jerky offering. For our listeners, we have a special offer for you. Go to RighteousFelon.com and use the promo code POD15 at checkout. Get you 15% off your order. That's POD15 at RighteousFelon.com.